This program is a production of Restoring the Core, an initiative designed to assist those wishing to go deeper into classic Christianity with resources available in a connected age, online at restoringthecore.com. This is Finding Hidden Treasure, episode 132. I recently heard about a Bible study entitled, Don't Be a Martha. This refers to the account of Martha and her sister Mary, as found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. In that account, Martha is caught up in the details of being a good hostess to the Lord Jesus. A rebuke of her sister Mary was directed to the Lord, asking him to remind Mary for her to help with the preparations. Hospitality was quite important in first century Israel. Yet even with the very important priority of hospitality, the Lord's gentle rebuke to Martha was a reminder that heavenly priorities are greater than even the best of earthly ones. However, when I heard about the Bible study, I was reminded of something else. I remembered that the gospel accounts of Martha show more about her than simply this one incident. It reminded me of Ebenezer Scrooge in Charles Dickens' story, A Christmas Carol. Dickens' short tale is perhaps one of our culture's best-remembered Christmas stories. Over the years, there have been numerous film and television adaptations of this classic. Despite being written in the 1840s, the characters are well-known to a modern audience today. I found a parallel with Martha in the way that the term Scrooge is used today. It's not uncommon, especially during the Christmas season, to hear someone being called a Scrooge. Such a reference leaves no doubt that the modern-day Scrooge is some combination of miserly, joyless, or, worse yet, an active killjoy. But that's not the way A Christmas Carol ends. Ebenezer Scrooge, by the end of the story, is a changed man, a once bitter, lonely, miserly, and joyless man. His Christmas Eve encounters with the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future altered his thinking and behavior. He became joy-filled and willing to give time and money to help others, particularly the Cratchits and their son, Tiny Tim. Yet, our culture remembers Scrooge for what he was rather than what he became. I think the same thing may be true for the way that many believers in Christ think about Martha. There's the account found in Luke, but there's also the account found in the Gospel of John, chapter 11. In this account, we find that the Lord Jesus purposely delayed going to the village of Bethany to visit and presumably cure his sick friend Lazarus from an illness which would lead to his death. As we pick up the account, the Lord Jesus has arrived in Bethany 4 days after Lazarus has died. His sisters, Martha and Mary, are in mourning for him. As we read on, we find a few extraordinary things about Martha when we read about her in this chapter. Verse 20 states, "When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house." Martha broke the custom of sitting in the house during the time of mourning for her brother Lazarus to go out and see the Lord. What she then said is even more extraordinary. In verse 21, she said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." She believed that Christ could have healed her brother. Implicit in those words, though, was, "Why didn't you come and heal him and prevent his death?" In verse 22, Martha shows us an astonishing level of faith. It is likely that Martha knew of the Lord Jesus raising the son of the widow of Nain and Jairus' daughter from the dead. Even if the Lord had been there just after Lazarus had died, the Lord raising Lazarus from the dead would have fit the pattern of those other two risings. In verse 39, however, we find that Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. According to Jewish belief of the time, the spirit of a dead person stayed near the corpse until the third day. After that, the departed spirit truly departed. Despite knowing this, Martha's word reflected a staggering trust in Christ as she said to him, "But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." The Lord's words following this could have led Martha to trust that her brother would rise from the dead, but at a much later future time. She solidly proclaimed her faith as found in verse 27. "Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." As the account unfolds in this chapter, we find that the Lord Jesus did raise Lazarus from the dead there and then. Martha's prayer, a subtle reminder to the Lord of his own power, in an impossible circumstance. A prayer driven by an astonishing faith was answered there and then to the glory of God. For those of us who are followers of Christ, we may face a scenario like that of the fictional Scrooge or the historical Martha. Namely, people remember us for who we were instead of who we are. Perhaps, without realizing it, we even do this to ourselves. Yet the Bible makes clear that a person who has come to faith in Christ is not the same person they were before. While not the only biblical passages that make this case, the following will suffice for the moment. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, the Apostle Paul wrote, "He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, he wrote, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul wrote, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." An analogy from American history may help to illustrate this point. Between the years 1948 to 1952, the White House, the home of the U.S. president, was massively renovated. The interior had been found in such a state of disrepair that simple fixes would be insufficient and inadequate. The scale of renovation would be massive. The entire inside of the building needed replacing. President Truman was against the idea of the White House being, in essence, completely torn down and then rebuilt. He thought it was important to provide a sense of historical continuity and not to have an old White House, new White House scenario for future generations of Americans. His directive was for the outside of the White House to remain standing while the interior was being completely remade. During that four-year period of time, as people traveled down Pennsylvania Avenue in front of the White House, they would see the old shell of the building while the inside was being completely rebuilt. The outer White House remained old. From the outside, there would have been few clues of the massive and utter renewal going on the inside. In a very similar way, our old shell, our outer self, will look a lot like the outer self of our earlier life prior to Christ. Yet, like the White House of the mid-20th century, we are being completely renewed on the inside. As we've seen, people seem to not remember the new Scrooge, but rather the old one. The same has been true for Martha in too many Christian circles. The same may hold true for you. People who've known you for a long time might remember you more for who you were rather than who you are. Be willing to give these individuals a view into the renovation which God in Christ is doing inside of you now. Let Christ's light shine. Those people from your past might take notice of what God is doing in you in the present. Concerning that Bible study I mentioned at the start, if all we knew of Martha was her overzealous hospitality, I'd agree with the statement, "Don't be a Martha." However, we know more. We see her astonishing faith in Christ while standing in front of her brother's tomb. She had a faith in Christ that saw hope in Christ when no others could see it or could expect to see it. I'd love for my faith to grow to the point, like Martha's, that I would expect to see Christ work in seemingly hopeless situations in the here and now. My advice to you, be a Martha. Thank you for listening to this program. We can be contacted at mail@restoringthecore.com. We're on Facebook at www.facebook.com/restoringthecore. You can also follow us on Twitter at Restore the Core. Thank you for listening. We hope you will join us next time for Finding Hidden Treasure.